Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. I'm Dan Stouffer, joined again with Paula Coley and also Scott Stedman, my co-laborer in ministry. And Paula, this is part two of a great conversation about a great organization called the Christian Horse Lovers Club. And you gave us some great information last time. But I think if we just kind of take a step back, Paula, where are you located? And also, where are these clubs located so that there might be some people watching here who might be interested in getting a partnership going or sending kids to? So tell us a little bit about where you're located and where these clubs are.
Okay. I am located in Central Ohio, near Columbus, Ohio. There are only a few clubs in the whole United States, but I'm hoping to change that. There is a club in Idaho, directed by the president of the association or the ministry. She's in Idaho. There's ministries in Wisconsin. There's some in California. If you're interested in a specific location, the best thing to do is to call Kim Shanks at 262-374-4171, and she can direct you exactly to a ministry. But I would love to see new clubs started and am in a position where I can travel to your area. I'm making a plan to travel south this winter to try and start some clubs in northern Georgia area. And so I'm not opposed to coming and trying to help you get this set up.
We absolutely love that. And so if you're listening to this and if you watched episode one, or if you didn't, I'll kind of fill in the blanks in here. We're talking about ministering to girls in particular, with a Bible in one hand and then another hand on a rein with a horse, not exactly that, but using the Bible and biblical principles and tying it into God's wonderful creation and what horses can do and what we can learn from horses, and using that as a ministry to make a dedicated disciple. And so listening to this podcast, I would venture to say there's probably a lot of people who are either volunteering in their church, and typically if they are paid, it's a dual role. And so it might be sports, fitness, recreation, and youth and children, or some sort of combination role like that. So Paula, tell us, thinking of that person in mind, what typical child or what typical girl in particular tends to gravitate towards this? Because if there's a youth minister as a part of this podcast, listening to this, watching this, they might be saying, you know, I run a flag football league, or I've got soccer going on, or upward basketball. And so I kind of see the typical kids who do that. But I also have some other kids who aren't interested in that sort of thing. So what is a typical kid like who joins your club?
I have many girls who come to me, some who have varied interests, and they don't stay very long in the club setting because they have a lot of other interests. But I have had some kids who really had no interests, but they like animals. And so they come to me, and some of them are very scared of horses. They've never been around a big animal, but that's one of the beauties. It can help them gain that confidence in who God has made them and help them to come out. So it really is a varied group of kids. But many of them, you know, don't have those interests in sports. They're not really athletic, but they love horses. They love animals. So being at a barn and being able to pet on a horse and gain that confidence leading a horse, doing things on a horse, gives them something that they didn't have. And I see kids who, I just started with some kids who are brand new to the club. And one little girl was so scared to get on a horse, and now she's walking and trotting, and it's only been a month. And so the confidence level in her, I've just seen her brighten up and just have some purpose. So I think it's an important thing to reach some of those kids. I know in each of the ministries I've done in a church setting, there are kids who are really quiet and shy, and this can particularly reach out to them.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned that before in our part one, where, when Dan asked why a horse and just the temperament of a horse, and even though they are big and they're gigantic and they can be very intimidating sometimes, and especially for me as a kid who watched a lot of TV and my grandma watched a lot of Little House on the Prairie, sometimes there's those scenes with those horses that would scare me, but they're just very temperamental as far as just being so good with kids and being good with students and just always, it's almost that the way they're going to respect you and love you. And then, you need to also respect them too, as far as, making sure, like you said, don't go underneath the horse, please. So we see a lot of the improvement of like those students who have been shy and then they kind of came out and now they're like trotting. So as far as the faith development and just kind of their own faith and how that has grown through this ministry, can you share a little bit about some of the students' faith journey with your ministry?
That's a good question because I have many of the kids come from your Christian families who really want to see their kids know Christ. But as we all know, as a young person, they're limited understanding and they need to kind of grow in that. And what this program can do, because it can continue for many years, as I described, they could be in a club for 7 or 8 years and take them through their high school years. I saw kids who really felt like they came to know who Christ was through this ministry, which is really the exciting part. One of the girls I remembered, she shared that she, went to church because her parents made her, and she was excited to come to club because of horses. So the horses were the draw, but in the end, she shared that she really came to a personal relationship with Jesus. And now I see her in college writing back to me and telling me how she remembers the verses she memorized in club and how much that is helping her at this stage in her life. And that to me is the exciting part.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of the, always the big draw when we think about sports and recreation ministry is because when you are intentional with discipleship and you're using a horse or a ball or a barbell, people sometimes it kind of breaks the monotony of just the liturgical church and just the motions of church life, where now you have something where you can enjoy something that lowers those walls, that kind of leaves them up to be open to experiencing new things on how to ride a horse, how to care for a horse. And then you're also kind of inserting the gospel. And I think when that happens, that's what really sticks with kids, and why that's so impactful for a lot of students with sports and recreational ministry. Dan?
Yeah, I love the story of that girl in college. I think gaining confidence, right? Because young people, if they find something that they like and they grow in that skill, they're going to gain confidence. We know that that's true for anything. But when they start to hide God's word in their heart and they go off to college and they're recalling those Bible verses and it's directing their lives, that's what it's all about. And when they write back to you and they say thank you and they talk about what they've learned, we know that's the aspect of ministry that gets us really pumped. And that for a lot of us, that got us into ministry because we know we saw life change and we see that these people have gotten it. They're following Christ, even when it's hard. And we're talking about Christian Horse Lovers Club here. And so there's people who might be thinking, okay, this sounds great. I think a natural next question is, all right, Paula, so if a church wants to start a program like this or to connect with you, what resources would they need? So I'm thinking about a church that, they might be watching this or like, we have no budget. We don't really even have a paid staff person to do any of this, but we've got some acreage that our building sits on. What resources could they need in order to partner with you and or start a club like this on their own?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think every church that I've ever been involved in over the last 50 years, there have been some people who have horses and they would love to share them with people, but they don't know how. So I think finding someone in your congregation who already has horses is the best way, because then the church doesn't really have the expense of the horse to take care of and that sort of thing. Obviously, you know, in the Word of God, it tells us to use our gifts, to use our resources to serve Him. And I have found, anyway, as I'm trying to expand this ministry and talking to people, they want to use their horses for the Lord. And so they're excited about that opportunity. And it doesn't take a lot of time. The program is such that it's set up with every tool that they need. I started out, I really didn't know a lot. I didn't remember a lot because I had had horses as a kid. And then it was like 20 years I didn't have horses. So I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what to do with the poop. So I was kind of relearning how to take care of a horse. But the program has everything, all the tools in it that someone needs. So it would just be a minister or pastor reaching out to the congregation, asking for volunteers, someone, you know, putting the word out that you're looking for someone with horses who would like to help with the ministry. And obviously, you know, not everyone has that understanding of horses and you need some horse people. So you need somebody who does have that skill. And again, I'm happy to come into areas and help them find horses and people. If that's something they need. I know Kim Shanks, I've talked about her before. She's the president of the club and she can give you resources too. What we're finding is there's many faith-based Christian horse people, but they don't know how to use their horses and their faith together. So just being directed to something like this could be the key that they need to implement this in their program.
Absolutely. I love when I asked that question, the first thing you said was people. And that's our greatest resource, right? We've got people in our churches or people we're connected with who may have horses, who may have some skills. And if we start there and we trust God and we know this is something that our church needs and it could be used to reach young people, then there's opportunity. Paula, I know you and I have talked offline about this, but the international focus, CSRM is a great international ministry. Mm-hmm. We've got people all around the globe who are doing great things. And I know what you just mentioned, there's clubs here in the States. Does a ministry like this, could it translate to other countries as well?
I think so. That would be wonderful. I think anything like this that uses the Word of God, it would take, you know, somebody to translate it, obviously, into a language if it is involved with that. And just taking it and using it in that country. Horses are horses. They're going to be the same. God is God. He is the same, too. So using the Word of God and horses really could fit anywhere.
I love that. Horses are horses and God is God. Absolutely. And there is curriculum and we've got people who I know have helped us to translate some of our CSRM books into other languages. And so perhaps you're watching this and you're thinking, I think this would be a great thing for our country. Please connect with Paula. In fact, Paula, I think that's a great way for us to kind of round third and head home here. Tell us how people can reach out to you and Christian Horse Lovers Club, website, phone numbers, any other information like that.
Sure. All right. The website is CHLCLUB, so CHL for Christian Horse Lovers, and then club.org. And you can reach out there. Kim Shanks monitors that, and she'll respond. Kim's number, she's in Idaho, is 262-374-4171. And you can reach out to me at 614-632-6186. And any of those places, we'll be happy to answer questions to help you. We would love to see more clubs like this, because I really believe there is a large impact that can be made in young people, and our world needs that today. And unless we're going after them, I don't know how else to do it. That's how the Lord is with us. He pursues us. So this would be a wonderful.
Absolutely. And God has called us all to go and make disciples. And the emphasis here, obviously, is young people. And Paula, you referenced this earlier. We see that after the age of 14, the likelihood of someone accepting Christ goes down pretty drastically. And so if we can reach kids when they're young with the gospel, and it's something that brings them a lot of value, and it's maybe their own interest right now, this is another great opportunity. So we encourage you, please connect with Paula, reach out to her or Kim, see where the Lord directs you. And we can't wait to see what happens here. If you've watched this podcast and you know you can share it with someone in leadership or get connected to people who have horses and are good Christian people, just kind of see what God does. See how God uses this ministry model or even partnering with this current ministry to make more disciples, because that's what we are all about. So, Scott, any parting words on your end before we head home here?
No, I don't have any parting words. This just all sounds great. This is all wonderful, and I think it can benefit a lot of people who definitely have, especially those, being a small church person and pastoring small church for years, sometimes you can't get a basketball court. Sometimes you have a field that can't be used to, it's not smooth enough to play soccer, but you do have a field that you can ride a horse on. And I think that can be a benefit for a lot of people, especially out in the country who may not have all the sports and recreation needs, but they definitely can use animals as a way to communicate the gospel.
Absolutely. So there's great opportunity. I can't wait to hear 10 years from now, Lord willing, what the podcast did here to plant seeds about this wonderful ministry. And Paula, what your legacy, your coaching, even some of the girls that you're training up, what they're going to do, because it's all about it, just keeping the Great Commission at the forefront of our mind and seeing fruit just come from all of our efforts. So Paula, thank you so much for your time. Scott, thanks for helping us out here, spinning those dials behind the scenes. And thank you so much for watching another CSRM podcast. We'll catch you next time. Take care.
The CSRM podcast is a production of CSRM and their production house, Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Rick Linville is the executive producer, and Scott Stedman is the associate producer and editor. To learn more about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM podcast is the flagship member of the podcast network Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio, or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV Radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.